This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Importantly, welcome back to this young man. Langston Reynolds will be a UNC Bear once more. He's joining us on the First Advantage Hotline. Langston, dude, what a surprise. What great news to get on a Wednesday morning, my man. Long time no chat, dude. How you been?
Man, you know, I've been really good. Happy to be back, you know, but I know I've been doing pretty good.
Well, I got to get into this with you, and we don't have to talk about all the legalities and stuff, but, you know, it's crazy around college sports right now, but the whole fifth-year thing, a guy you know well, you've been involved in this, Brock Wisney was involved in this, getting that fifth year, and you obviously went through the process of what to do next and ultimately landed on UNC again, man. Talk to us a little bit about that decision process.
Yeah, you know, for me, it was more just going to a place where I could be more comfortable. For me, it was all about comfortability and, you know, just knowing I could go to a place that felt like home. So for me, you know, when Smiley, you know, we kind of reached back out, he was just checking in, and then the idea got brought up, and, you know, it just turned out to be a really good situation, and now I'm back home.
When did you know, like, this has been a long process, but when did you know, like, that fifth-year opportunity was going to present itself?
Honestly, I didn't think it was. I was kind of having the idea of just, you know, getting ready to, you know, go play pro. And then, you know, I saw that my ruling, you know, my lawsuit had passed. And then, hey, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is going to be great. And, you know, just kind of a quick process after that.
And so obviously did you enter some kind of a portal to take? I forgive me if these are stupid questions. So you enter the portal once you find out that you've got that fifth year?
Yeah, so I entered back in April.
Okay.
When it first opened, just to kind of, you know, just in case, just kind of, you know, be ahead of the game, just in case it did pass, because there was talks about it. And then, you know, just ended up working out and just, you know, being easy for me.
Man, I cannot, like, I had no idea. We were talking about this, and then I see your post, and bam, this is just really exciting. This Bears team, Langston, we missed you last week, man. We were out at the practice site, and, you know, they were doing their summer practices before their Puerto Rico trip, and you got robbed of that, by the way, man. Can you get them to go another round of Puerto Rico, maybe?
Hey, man, you know, it's all right. We're going to Cancun in November. Yeah, you know, it's all right.
That's very true, man. Is it going to be kind of weird for you? I mean, you spent so much time at UNC. You were amazing. I thought you should have been the Big Sky Conference Player of the Year back in 24-25. You go to play for Minnesota under Nico Medved. You were fantastic there, averaged almost 12 points a game. Now coming back, you're a Colorado guy. You're a Denver, Colorado dude. So it might not be that strange, but what do you think the emotions are going to be once you get here?
Man, I mean, for me and my family, it was a lot. You know, we cried. It was great for me to just come back and, you know, have my last year to be here, finish a Bear. And, you know, honestly, I think so far, you know, I've gotten a lot of good reactions and people are welcoming me back with open arms. And, you know, the guys, I'm more worried about the guys, and, you know, the guys are welcoming me back in open arms. So, I mean, it just feels like I'm really back at home.
Have you had a chance to talk to, because you got a lot of new faces, man, new faces from last year, new faces this year. That was part of why we went out on site last week, was just to get to know everybody. How many of the guys have you visited with at this point?
I visited with a lot of them. I think a big thing was more just, you know, having a good relationship with them and just knowing, like, hey, we're all here for the same reasons. And, you know, we're excited to just, you know, bring another banner to Greeley.
I can't wait. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm pumped about this roster. and getting a chance to learn more about these guys. And I'll be honest, Links, and I was kind of like, well, maybe it's going to be one of those kind of slow start seasons, and as they kind of gel, the team gets better as we go. And then we hear Langston's coming back, and I'm going, I don't know about that slow start thing anymore. I mean, that's how important of a piece you're going to be for this roster, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, it's more about, you know, I've been here, I've done that. And for me, I think it's just bringing that leadership piece. You know, I'm obviously going to be one of the older guys on the team, one of the more experienced guys. And for me, I think it's just being, hey, you know, like, I've been here, I've done that. If you have any questions, or, you know, just kind of give that guidance, I think, to just bring us back to where we were.
Can you talk to us a little bit more about that conversation, maybe the initial conversation with Coach Smiley? You said, you know, he's checking in. And I know he stays close with everybody. He talked about you a lot throughout the season even. What was that process like, and when the two of you kind of put your heads together and said, yeah, we can make this work?
Yeah, so I think, you know, I mean, it was a great conversation. Me and Smiley have talked multiple times. You know, we check in, you know, even with some of the guys from last year. You know, like me and Brock really close, me and Zach, and then me and Quinn literally just worked out today. So, I mean, for me, that first conversation, you know, I didn't even know at first that they had any spots or anything like that. It was more just a check-in. And, you know, he brought up the idea of saying, hey, like, how would you feel about it? Like, if we can make this work, you know, if all the NCAA stuff and all the lawsuit stuff worked, would I want to come back? And, you know, it was a no-brainer for me. You know, I just decided, it was like, hey, of course. Why would I not want to?
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I know people are absolutely pumped about this. So where are you now, man? Because, again, you just put this news out around 9 o'clock this morning. And, of course, like 5 seconds after you posted, I had your Twitter page open, Langston. And I was like, all right, we're getting you on here, because I talked to Coach Smiley a bit, because I know we got some plans coming up. But where are you now, and when do you plan to, you know, to kind of get the mix here?
Yeah, so I'm actually here now. I just finished class. Up a little bit ago. I worked out this morning here. I'm getting all my stuff done, all my concussion stuff, to, you know, get cleared and be able to practice today, actually. So
wow.
I'm up here quick. I'm here with the guys, and that's really just the goal. We want to get up here quick, you know, bond with the guys, get familiar with the team, because, you know, I did miss the summer. So it's really important for me to get up here as soon as possible.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, the perception is we see the post and then we just assume, okay, he'll be getting here soon. But you know, you're here anyway, you know, in family in Denver. So it made that process pretty quick. You were just kind of, you know, giving it a few before you made that announcement.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I didn't really want to, you know, put too much on everything, especially on the team and staff. And, you know, it just made it better for me to just do things behind the scenes first and then just kind of figure out how to, you know, approach this and announce this, you know.
Langston, I mean, not to put you on the spot, but there's a pretty significant football game going on Friday. First game under the lights at Nottingham Field. I know the schedule's probably absolutely crazy, but are you going to find your way over to the football stadium?
I'm absolutely going to be there.
That's
Can't
awesome.
Miss that. Yeah. Right? That's history right there. I can't miss that.
Well, we're going to be setting up shop out there. We'll be out there early. If you're hanging around the north end zone, come by and say hello to us.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, don't worry. I'll be around.
Yeah, dude, I got to tell you, man, this is really exciting news. It was fun. You know, you mentioned Brock Wisney. We had fun with Brock last year. We did a radio show with him. The Brock Wisney show was great. And then all this stuff started going on. So I was in contact with him, and then I know he ultimately signed to go to Spain. And obviously, yeah. I thought that would maybe put a wrench in his, you know, future college plans, although that's not mattering anymore because so many guys are going back anyway. What do you make of everything? Because I've said this a million times. Your situation is, I 100% agree with your fight and how this went down, because you should have been granted a fifth year from the get-go. Where it gets a little hazy for me is when guys do actually put pen to paper and sign a professional contract and then come back. But you, my friend, you did it all the right way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it was more just the patience, you know. I think a lot of people just kind of skipped over the fact of just, hey, like, let me just jump the gun, do this, do that. And I think a lot of, for me, was just people in my circle, which obviously I really appreciate them for that, was just, you know, be patient. Like, it's going to work out the way it's supposed to. God has a plan for everybody, and everybody's path is going to be different. And I think right now, with everything in NCAA and how things are going, you know, I mean, everybody's path is going to be different. Some people are going to be able to come back. Some people are going to be able to, you know, go play pro. And for me, it's more just everything's a blessing at the end of the day. You're playing the game that you love at a high level. I mean, that's just kind of how you got to look at it.
I can't wait, man. Last one for you, too. Two of my favorite coaches. We love talking to these guys. Steve Smiley, and of course, we used to catch up with Nico Medved a lot. What was it like that year in Minnesota playing for Coach Medved?
Yeah, it was different. You know, it was a big jump, especially to that type of league and, you know, meeting a bunch of new people, which I kind of knew Coach Nico a little bit from, you know, from past. But for me, it was more just getting acclimated with just, you know, all the terminology and meeting new people and obviously knowing, like, the managers and the staff at that school, especially after being here for so long. But honestly, it was a really good experience. I think the summer really helped me a lot just to get acclimated there and just have a really good feeling of what it's going to look like. And then, you know, throughout the year, I just kept getting better and better. And, you know, it just turned out being great for me.
Yeah, you were great last year, man. It was fun to follow your year with Minnesota. But I got to tell you, it's going to be even more fun to follow this final year now that you're back at UNC. And I know I'm going to maybe put you on the spot, but I'm thinking, Langston, because we talked about this before, but maybe the Langston Reynolds show, something in the works here on KFKA.
You know, that's something I would definitely be interested in. You know, we could definitely talk about it.
I like to do my business dealings on the air, so you're kind of forced to say yes on the fly. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how we do it here. Maybe not the most professional way, but it's what it is. Langston, come say hi to us, man, if you're hanging around there early around the tailgate Friday. Very pumped that you're back. Cannot wait to see what you have in store for us with you, you know, coming back to the Bears.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be back.
Hey, Big Sky Conference of the Year. Player of the Year. I'm already going to start that campaign, Langston, so let's go get it.
Yep, thank you.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, see ya.
There's Langston Reynolds. He's a Bear again. 3 years for the Bears. Got better every year. Played last year with Minnesota. He mentioned it. Tough transition to make. Hard league. He averaged 12 points per game, 4.3 rebounds per game, 4.5 assists per game. Dude, Mike. Get ready for monster numbers. Monster numbers coming up from Langston.
It'll be unbearable.
117 the time. Keeling Me Softly coming up from the Sean Keeler from the Denver Post. We'll get to that coming up next.
The Broncos are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Some call him genius, legend, ladies' man, the best to ever observe the game. We want to keep him humble, so we call him Sean. This is Keeling Me Softly with Denver Post columnist Sean Keeler.
It is time for one of our favorite segments of the week. We get a chance to catch up with the Denver Post, Sean Keeler. Sean, my man, what's going on, dude? It's crazy time around here these days.
Is it? Yeah. The Bears are out. The Bears are looking for food. The Elk are looking for ladies. And we are looking for football.
You said it in one of your stories earlier that, hey, we all need football to start. You know, we're desperate for it because of all the crazy nonsense that's gone on in the NCAA. But maybe, you know, no more so than Coach Prime and his Colorado Buffaloes because, you know, we might hear about another lawsuit before the game kicks off next Thursday night. Who knows?
A former colleague of mine. And you're more of them by the day. But a former colleague of mine texted me, I think, on Saturday. I was near your fair bird, by the way, wandering around with family north of Denver. And I got a text that said, and I won't name the subject, but the text said from this individual, do you think they're going to serve Deion Papers when he runs out into the field, the home opener?
Oh, my gosh.
In 2 weeks? And I just fell over laughing, going, I'm going to steal that. And I said, I'm going to steal that line.
Oh.
And like, Deion, I'm not going to give you any credit. And I'm not going to pay you for it. And then we just went back and forth. I mean, it's another way of seeing the jokes write themselves.
Yeah.
But it's another way of going back to something we've talked about for, God, months, certainly this month of, all right, pretty big game next Thursday. And you need to, God, it's a week away. You need to put up. And the only way that you make the circus go away is if people have to take the football seriously.
That's the only way.
You got a great shot. Yeah, it's the only way. Otherwise, Spacks, he's been in court, and Shiloh's bankruptcy deal, and he's not paying his designers, and then you're back to all the kind of Trumpism things that Dion does, and not about the football. So I've been saying, it's kind of big. To me, I think it's the biggest game they've played. Forget the Alamo Bowl, forget the rest, since that TCU opener as a declaration of intent. And I just have a feeling, God, why do I think they're going to win that game? Yeah, I said that out loud. I know they shouldn't. Did you see USA Today's record-by-record picks, I think, posted yesterday or today?
No, I didn't see it.
3-9. The Rams 4-8 and the Buffs 3-9, and I went, if that's 3-9, one, I don't see it. Two, again, that's not going to be good. That's going to be some serious tight underwear in a lot of places in Boulder from Fernando Lobo on up, because, Deion's his boss and not the other way around. Yeah, big. Check is big. It's a big month.
It's huge, Sean.
You've got to, it's the only way you get us to stop talking about it.
It's the only way. Once we can, if football can distract us, then, and winning football can distract us, then hey, we know it'll happen. It's done it before, but we'll see.
I'm thinking that's why I think they're going to win somehow, because it's been so, even with me now, kids want to pick a fight with him and the whole bit. It's like whenever your feet's fighting with somebody, it's like they play better.
Maybe there is that. Yeah,
I have that thought where, and then I'll say that, and Tech will run for 300, and it won't matter. So. Yeah, I'm fascinated, but yeah, it's the only way to change that talk radio column subject line is if you're 3-0 or a good 2-1 or a good 3-1, that all changes. It's all about the football now.
Sean Keeler joining us, Denver Post. Sean, now did speaking of USA Today, I saw a story there where they're referencing Coach Prime saying Shiloh already won the case, and then the writer in USA Today saying, no, that's not right. Were you there? What's going on with that?
No, I was on something else Monday. I'm going to be there tomorrow and into early next week, and then I'll be in Atlanta next week for Prime Fest. it's an old case. I know some of the parties involved, and they've been talking to me for years and years and years. Well, pretty much since Deion got here, there was a lot of people who reached out to me right away to talk about Deion and his family and his legal history. And all these, they're like, this is coming, or this is coming. And more often than not, those things would come. So there was a settlement with a short version. There was a settlement with another party, is my understanding. Again, basically, Shiloh was in a physical altercation when Shiloh was 15, and I believe he was at Deion's school. Everything with Prime Academy, by the way, is not a comfortable read. Or it's not a read that if you were an AD, hello, Rick George, where you would hire this man. Like, you'd be like, oh, boy, this could go bad. But, again, Rick George said a word we can't say at the SEC and said, I'm out of here anyway. Mm-hmm. It was a roll of the dice. It was a Hail Mary, to put it kindly, because he didn't care because he was going to leave, and he did, sort of. So, yeah, it's all tied back to that. And I think a third party or another party who's still involved found no fault against Shiloh. But that doesn't specifically pertain to this bankruptcy ruling. I mean, in principle, I think all sides are right. Yet again, with Deion, all things are true. These things are good. This is true. These things are not so good. Also true. So, yes, he technically got absolution from a third party who may or may not have been involved in a specific physical incident. But the bankruptcy trial is strictly because he declared bankruptcy, 2 years ago, whenever it was, in Colorado, because he didn't show up for the Texas judgment of $11-12 million, that security guard is asking from him in damages. John DeJean, I'm going to pronounce that wrong, but anyway, the security guard is asking those damages. He just didn't show up. He didn't show up for the 22 ruling, and so they went, well, you're not here, but it's pretty easy by default. I'm going to give him this judgment, and he's saying, I have no money. So they're trying to, basically this case in Colorado is, are you really bankrupt, and can I get the money? And I don't know. They're not settling. So, again, using the Trump parallel, you know, Dion and Trump, you're not settling. So I think they think they've got Darby Steinberg. They think they've got a case. I don't think he'll – I'd be surprised if he testified in person next week, because we're – next Monday is still the trial date. I think Judge Romero is going to respect the office of the highest state's highest paid public employee, right or wrong, in that a game week is not ideal. I could be wrong. I get that feeling that they're going to Zoom this or figure out some alternative way. But I do know that the attorneys for the gentleman suing would really, really like to get Dion on the record and would like to cross-examine him. Dion does not want to be cross-examined for reasons that we probably can't get into here. So, yeah, it's not ideal. The timing is not ideal, but I'd be surprised if he actually physically had to testify in the game week, and we'll see.
Sean, how about the logo thing? Can you give us any clarity on that, the logo dispute, the creator saying he was promised advancements in his career, never saw any of that? Like, what do we know about that?
Not as much up close. I'm been poking around a little bit with that. That's actually also kind of old. That was, I think, filed mid-late January 2025 or thereabouts. And someone got a hold of it who told me that someone got a hold of it, and then suddenly we were chasing all this last Thursday, Friday, whenever it was, and then it became very public, and it was another one added onto the pile. I imagine there are others that are little ones that kind of poke around here and there, because as Dion said, when you're the man, people come at the man. Some of that has to do with the man's agency and how his agency does things, but that's a whole nother, again, that's a whole nother rabbit hole. So that's been in the works. I don't know how quickly that's moving along. That's in the state of Nebraska. My mom pronounces it Nebraska. I don't know where the timetable is there, but it's interesting. It adds another tense in the three ring circus, so to speak, where you just kind of go, this just keeps coming back. So again, you know, when change that narrative, because it ain't great.
It's the only thing you can do, Sean. Crazy stuff with the Buffs, no question. But I wanted to also get to your piece, Broncos Country. It's too soon to call Broncos CB Jahdae Barron a bust. That one's interesting, isn't it? Because it's the contract things are interesting on all that. Riley Moss in a contract year, Jaquan McMillan in a contract year. Yeah. You know the Broncos want Jahdae Barron to kind of rise above and be the guy, because that was their dude. They picked him in the first round.
Well, they did like the best and worst thing they could. They wanted competition from Moss and McMillan 2 years ago. I mean, we have to go back to what the logic was in doing this. When a lot in hindsight, you're like, oh, you could have taken an inside linebacker. That would have been better. So who could play right away, or maybe cover for Jonathan Cooper that, you know, you didn't need it at the time, but maybe you didn't know what was coming down the road. They didn't love in late 2024, early 2025, what they had in Riley Moss and what they had in an undrafted Jaquan McMillan. And those guys got better. And I think those guys didn't appreciate that. They clearly were. They certainly were. I know one of them was definitely motivated, let's put it this way, by the fact that Jahdae Barron came aboard, because he knew that he was coming for his job. Those guys have played out of their minds more often than not. And we can go into Boss and the pass interference and the calls and some of the ticky-tack stuff he gets. But that was the idea. And now he's not. You have a rookie who's not playing better than the guys that his salary, in theory, mandates he should be better than. Now, I've written about this. I think Troy wrote about this last week. That's actually okay. That's like a really – talk about first world problems. That's a really good problem to have right now, and why you need to play him Friday night, and why you need to use this preseason to give him as much run as possible. Never mind that Moss is hurt. You want to rest him for a month or 3 weeks till the opener. You got a chance to get this guy into game speed and to get him up against other color jerseys and other quarterbacks and have a better idea of what you have, because ultimately, this is the part where I'd love to be wrong, and please correct me if I am, or if you think this is way off. I really have a hard time seeing where the Broncos maintain both Riley Moss and McMillan at this time next year. It's probably going to be one or the other, and they have to choose. And this guy was drafted to not just push, but to replace one of those guys in the manner of, you know, cap casualties, the way that JFM was. One of those guys is going to be next year's JFM, who is ready to step up. Or whose slot do you end up filling? Because they're going to get paid, and you just can't. I mean, the Walton Penner Group could pay them if it was that simple. But in a cap sport, when you're going to have a $55 million, $60 million quarterback, you're going to lose some of that depth there. That stinks. It's not great. So that's the onus is on, you know, it, not just on our old friend Rob Livingston, speaking of former Buffs, to see what he's got in Jhede. It's on Jhede to kind of show the Broncos where that fit is. And it's been kind of a mixed bag, more good than bad, these first two preseason games. And I'll be really curious, if you're looking for something to watch besides Bo and the QB2 battle, see if Barron looks better to you as a nickelback or how he's used inside versus outside against the Vikings, where he had to play a lot of outside against Green Bay just out of necessity. And it was kind of a happiness, not happy to lose Moss, obviously. But you're happy to at least try him out there. If he had to be our QB2 in a pinch, how would this go? More good than bad, but the bad sticks out. It's just like a left tackle in a boundary corner. When you miss, everybody sees it. That's the tough part when you're there. So the process continues. I talked to Justin Simmons about that recently and said, what advice would he give as a rookie trying to break into a deep secondary? And he said, you're going to have to wait your turn. But when you do get those flashes, you got to take advantage of it. So Friday is very, very big in that respect.
Yeah, big games coming up, Sean. Tis the season for us to get some questions answered, and that's one of them certainly surrounding the Broncos. Sean, my man, great stuff as always, and we'll get with you next Wednesday, day before that huge, monumental game for the Colorado Buffaloes.
I'm traveling that. Yeah, we got to figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
For our loyal listenership, I am traveling that day. So let me double check that time, and we'll figure something out. We'll make it work for you. If I'm on the plane, if I'm on in a terminal somewhere, we'll make it work.
Pull the plane over. Just pull it over.
So. That one's not going to happen. Yeah,
okay, maybe not.
Pull over and stop right there and get out. Let me do this interview.
Sean, appreciate it, my man. Talk to you soon.
All right, watch out for elk. See you. Bye.
All right, Sean Keeler, Keeling Me Softly, Denver Post. Mike, the Buff stuff is a mess. And if you are arguing and say, well, why are you going at the Buffaloes? Why do you keep going? That's how Prime fans
because
are.
Because they deserve
to be
gone at.
Why do you keep going at the Buffaloes? Well, because there's news that keeps presenting itself. Sean Payton's a jerk, too. I heard that. How many court cases has Sean been in the last 9 months?
Yeah, and the big controversy was like 2013.
It was a long time ago. And we talked about it. We said it was dumb. We hated it. And we moved on with our lives. Same would happen for Coach Prime if he'd give us a chance to move on. But it's one thing, and then another thing, and then another thing, and then another thing. It's not always like legality stuff, legal stuff. It's just stuff. And he's always producing stuff.
I miss the football player version of Prime. Because, yeah, you had him saying stuff, but he was cool. He was just a cool guy. And now you're just like,
well, when you're cool, you can back it up by just being an individual player if you're that good. And he did. You can be cool all you want, but you got to rely on a bunch of other people to back it up for you, too. So that's difficult. All right, Mike, let's jump out real quick here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most. Local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
What a day, Mike. What a whirlwind. Big news for the Bears. Langston Reynolds returning to UNC. Sean Keeler bringing the fire on all things Coach Prime. Just how big of a game is next Thursday, Mike, against Georgia Tech for CU? I mean, just absolutely huge.
They will get blown out.
You think so? Picks are on Friday. Yeah. Everybody knows that. You haven't done. We're not there yet. But
well, I haven't done my picks yet.
No, it's okay. You don't need to. Nobody cares. No, don't. Wait, no. Is this got to be a thing we do all the time? Anyway, CU, Georgia Tech. I mean, you win that game, you're definitely dogs in that game. If you win that game, then a lot of this noise, Mike, it does go away. It does go away. For how long? Until the next week.
Until someone else makes some noise.
Or that. But you can't keep having... I know, Sean, this thing with the logo thing, that was last January when this was supposed to be, we just didn't talk about it. We didn't have the information in front of us. But it's just so many things, Mike. And I know we haven't talked about it enough, but Rick George hiring Dion and then leaving in the middle of his tenure, that's interesting, isn't it? He made a home run hire at the time. Big name. See you on the map as far as talk. It put a spotlight on the Buffs. But it's gotten more complicated as the years progress. Bringing Louie with me. Jordan Seaton coming to CU and then leaving CU. Retiring numbers. Flipping out over Jay Norvell's sunglasses comments. I mean, it just the list kind of just goes on and on. No, last year sucked. That's out of your control. Those are health issues, and that's a completely different beast. But it's just never been to the point where it's just a calm situation. I mean, even with Coach Prime's health stuff last year, everyone just wanted to know, where is he? Why is he on campus? Why did it take so long for him and his agency or whatever, his group, to just come out and say what was going on, Mike? Why wasn't it as simple as just simply saying, hey, I've got some health stuff that we're dealing with? Instead, we all just talked about it for a really long time. And so it just, even things to me that seem like they could be easy fixes. Like Coach Prime saying that Shiloh, like they won the case. He already won this case. USA Today came up with a story just bashing him, basically saying, no, that's not true. You didn't win the case. Keeler telling us they maybe won a settlement, but like a side settlement with someone else involved, I guess. It's not even involved with this security guard that Shiloh beat up when he was a freshman or whatever he was. It's just to the point where there's so much noise, it's outweighing all of the fun, popular, superstar effect that Coach Prime has brought to the Buffaloes. You have to wonder if people that are close over there are kind of like, how much longer is this thing going to go? I don't know. I'm speaking out, Mike. I'm not. No one's told me this. But don't you wonder if staff over there, if it crosses their mind, like, boy, wouldn't it be nice to just be talking about football more often than not? Like I had my podcast with Ed Lamb today. Just talk about football. We were talking a lot about lights and stuff, but just it's positive things. Wouldn't that be great to get to that point for the Buffaloes again? And they've had a lot of drama over the years because Mel Tucker was dramatic too. Midnight Mel, the way he left, that was tough. But it doesn't seem like much compared to his other stuff may be interesting too, but at the time, didn't seem like much compared to what's going on with Prime. Mel left and it sucked. Let me just say this. He said, I'm staying. I'm not going anywhere. I'm at a donor event. I love it. I'm a Buff. And then he's on a plane to go to Michigan State. Like that night. That sucked. That was awful. And Coach Prime hasn't done that yet.
Well, thankfully, Michigan State sucked. So that guy got his just desserts.
And he also had some weird things going on. But yes. Very strange, Mike. Very strange. Let's get to football. Let's just get to football.
Why can't CU just hire a coach that's not crazy?
Well, I don't think Coach Prime's crazy. I'm not throwing that out there.
I'm not calling him insane, but there's a lot of crazy things going on with him. Why can't CU hire someone who's... When UNC wins the FCS championship, UNC's... CU may not hire him because of the way Lamb does things.
Who?
I think CU? Once UNC wins the championship, a lot of people are going to be like, oh, this guy's really cool.
You are.
But.
You are jumping ahead of time now, Mike.
Brady, I look forward in time all the time.
You are. I think Ed. If Ed turns it around here, if he goes to the playoffs.
He's going to be buying a house in Montana.
Oh, he'll be. No. He'll get job offers all over the place. It's all it's going to take. If he turns it around here, a place where you're not supposed to turn it around, then yes, he's going to have offers. 149 the time. Mike, what did we learn? Let's get to that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Broncos football.
Count on three. One, two, three.
Then you want Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
What did we learn today, Michael? We learned that the last time the Bears started a played a game under the lights, or at least opened a season under the lights, was 1932.
And we learned that Scott Joplin goes very well with your old-timey voice.
That was fun. Sean Keeler, he thinks maybe the Buffs could pull off something crazy next Thursday. With all the negative press surrounding the Buffs, they just go crazy and then win the game. Maybe. We learned that Langston Reynolds is back. He's a Bear. Mike, what'd you learn? I like stealing all the stuff that we learned.
Yeah, I asked you a question off the air, and then you stole my thing. Like, oh, dang, my thunder. I think we learned that the Broncos, with their embarrassment of riches at cornerback position, probably going to only be able to keep two of those guys if our new guy, Jahdae Barron, can play up to his potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's an interesting one to watch out for. Mike, we got the Rockies mid-morning tomorrow, so we'll be off, but we're going to be live and on location out at Nottingham Field, starting at 10 o'clock with Coach Speak, and then we'll take you all the way through 4 o'clock. It's going to be a lot of fun.
See you in 2 days. Oh, wait, I won't see you on Friday.
I'll see you at the game, Mike.
Oh, are you going to the game?
Well, I'll be out there. I'll probably just stay there. I might just live there. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.